Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Joseph Sternberg, he's in London. It's very hot. But Joe is buffeted by thoughts of the cooler streams of America. In America's streams now, it's summertime, are enjoying people dangling their feet and taking a swim and worrying about a recession. Joe, the word recession is now so commonplace it doesn't scare anybody. The word stagflation sort of does if you define it. We're all waiting for the Federal Reserve to meet later this month and rescue us, bail us out, make amends. I'm not quite sure how to say this. The Federal Reserve fell behind in 21, not listening to you and your colleagues at the Journal. It is now promising to catch up by being hawkish. Maybe that's why the dollar is so strong. The Federal Reserve is moving in the right direction. 0.75 point in June. We're told by headlines anticipating the next meeting, there'll be 0.75 point more. Is that good news, Joe? Does that hearten Wall Street and the investor class? Does that mean the consumer can come back out of hiding?
Oh, who knows anymore? In essence, the problem that we're facing right now. The Federal Reserve and other central banks classically think that kind of the trade-off they're making is between inflation on one hand and unemployment and recession on the other. And what we've got is this weird situation where the inflation is still very much with us. And in fact, we had another 40-year record-setting bit of inflation data last week, if memory serves, is when that number came out. Clearly that is there, and yet you have all of these other signs that the economy might be starting to slow, except that the labor market appears to continue to be white hot. So I think this is creating a very difficult environment for the Federal Reserve to figure out what it should do, and also for market participants, investors, savers, financial institutions, Fed watchers to guess about what the Fed might do. I think that ordinarily you would think that with inflation rates where they are, that the Fed would continue, pushing the brake. And in fact, after those inflation data came out last week, there was some suggestion that the Federal Reserve might even contemplate a full 1 percentage point rate increase at the meeting that is due next week. And yet the Fed has now kind of put the kibosh on that kind of talk and said, no, we're going to stick to the 75 basis point increase that we had already signaled. Well, now that creates this weird dynamic where until recently a 75 basis point hike was viewed as very hawkish. Now it almost seems kind of dovish because the Fed has dismissed the idea that they could be even more aggressive. So my sense is that what's happening in the markets right now, and also among a lot of policymakers, is just an extraordinary degree of uncertainty about how far the Fed needs to go to actually get the inflation under control and what the other consequences of that might be along the way.
The markets will celebrate hawkishness. We've seen that most recently. We even see it in Europe. I see that the ECB is now talking about a 0.5 point raise, which paradoxically, regarded as tightening, will bring the best rate charged by the best customers to zero in European Union. However, right now we're concentrating on the U.S. They fell behind, Joe. They want to catch up. They want to get ahead. If they continue at this pace for the rest of the year, they will manage that. Is your sense that the Federal Reserve is strong enough to continue to raise rates, because there'll be a lot of noise in Washington and across the country that will lead to, we guarantee it, unemployment? We had a report yesterday from Apple that they were freezing hiring. Just, we're not going to hire for a while. Total panic. I don't want to use the word meltdown. That seems inappropriate to someone living in London right now. Total panic in the market because what? The great satellite Apple wasn't going to hire a new person. Are we expecting then unemployment will follow and that the Fed is tough enough to face it?
Well, so that kind of announcement from Apple, or I think Google Memory Services, another company that said that they were slowing hiring, that kind of announcement is a sign that Jerome Powell is actually getting what he wanted. Because remember, his theory was always that they could control inflation without creating any more unemployment if you could bring down the number of vacancies in the economy. So from that extent, as long as a company is not laying anyone off, if they're announcing that they aren't going to try to create new openings that they would have to fill, that can be construed as a sign that the Fed policy is working as intended. I think, though, that the danger facing the Fed is going to end up being somewhat different. I mean, they think that a lot of the political and economic pressure is going to come from rising unemployment. But before we get to that, I think that there is a lot of potential for things to go wrong in financial markets. I think that there is a lot of credit that has been created in the economy on the back of these very accommodative monetary policies over the past decade, where we don't know exactly where that credit is or what the quality of it is or how it is going to behave in a somewhat slowing economic environment. And so I think that there's a lot of potential for some kind of problem to develop in the financial system and for that to become the trigger for some kind of broader economic downturn that then weighs on employment in all of the ways that the Fed would ordinarily worry about.
The headlines took us to the Middle East in these last days with the president, first to Israel, then to Saudi Arabia. The mission, we were told by the White House, was to besiege the kingdom to pump more oil, to produce more refined gas, or put into the pipeline more gas, more oil for gasoline, to lower the price at the pump. I don't know. It might change momentarily, but right now there's no evidence of it. In fact, the remarks made by all sides is that it didn't change anything. The price of gasoline is said to be the burden, Joe. Is it? Are we looking at the wrong metric? Is the price of oil what is keeping us back?
In terms of the inflation that people are experiencing all along the cycle, the fuel prices have been a major pain point, but it is worth pointing out that we're now well past the stage in the cycle where those higher food and fuel prices started filtering into the rest of the economy. So I think that part of the political problem for the Biden administration and Democrats heading into the midterm election is going to be, even if they can get the gas prices under control at this point, so much of the other inflation is still going to be out there. And it's also worth pointing out that some of the improvement in gas and oil prices in dollar terms in the U.S. is actually related to the strength of the U.S. dollar. I mean, we were talking about this in the context of the euro-dollar exchange rate. I mean, one consequence of the fact that the euro or the British pound or the Japanese yen have been quite weak against the dollar lately, so the dollar is much stronger, and that tends to imply that you need fewer dollars in order to buy imports such as fuel. That might be as much a consequence of the monetary policy as of anything that the political branches have done. But that creates a dilemma because, sure, I mean, the Federal Reserve tightening might be delivering slightly improved fuel prices, but it's going to create all of this other stress in the financial system and other parts of the economy.
And the ambition of the administration is to reduce the price of gasoline, because that will translate into reducing the price of food, and that will translate into people not being so threatened by this bad patch we're going through. Can you jawbone the price of anything, Joe? Can you jawbone the price of gasoline? Does this make sense economically that the president can ask Saudi Arabia to pump more oil? When we have lots of oil here, we have lots of natural gas, but set that irony aside. Is that going to lead to lightening the inflation?
Well, I mean, the problem with all of this stuff is that there is a real limit to what you can accomplish by jawboning, and we have already more than hit that limit. You put your finger exactly on the issue here. I mean, we are well past the point where talking is going to do anything for the oil or gasoline market. you need more oil and gasoline on the market. I mean, one of the things that was maddening about President Biden's trip to the Middle East is he seems to acknowledge this when the goal is to talk other people into drilling more, but he refuses to drill domestically in the U.S. And, you know, that is an example of the kind of supply side change or improvement or reform that you could make in the U.S. economy that would unlock a lot of that energy production that would actually help the inflation picture. And by the way, make the Fed's job a lot easier here, because then, you know, the Fed wouldn't be, you know, exacerbating some of the slow growth effects of the threats of higher taxes and the regulatory assault on the economy that we're getting out of Washington. The Fed would actually have the advantage of taking some of those headwinds out of the picture for the economy.
Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, discussing the Federal Reserve meeting. It's anticipatory. It comes at the end of the month, but the next meeting and the next meeting and the next meeting, we're all going to have these moments of, will they or won't they stay the course and defeating inflation? Their target is 2%. They're a long way to go. When we come back, UK records hits highest temperature ever. Where is life in London now? It's not in the parks. It's at places that are very well known if you read English novels, Bournemouth and other watering holes. Joseph Sternberg, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.